Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. You know, I was talking about the player on the Magic, Jonathan Isaac, who didn't kneel during the anthem, and some of the Spurs coaches, Becky Hammon and Greg Popovich, in particular, obviously Popovich being the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, and how I don't think it's productive in any way, shape, or form to spend time arguing or fighting about that. It doesn't make any sense to me. I thought that the demonstrations by NBA players have, and I believe that the demonstration by NBA players have been beautiful, well done, powerful. At the same time, if somebody wants to stand, they can stand. And Jonathan Isaac, you know, I didn't really understand his logic or reason behind it, to be honest. When he was asked, he said it was about his religion. I don't understand what his religion has to do with that, but that's okay. If he wants to stand, he wants to stand. And I thought that Greg Popovich, you know, obviously we know what Greg Popovich is about. We've heard Greg Popovich speak, never censor himself. So it'd be ridiculous to then question Greg Popovich. You know, he and Becky Hammon were both wearing Black Lives Matter shirts. And I thought DeMar DeRozan put it really well. I'm looking at this now, and I want to read some of DeMar DeRozan's quotes. And Popovich, by the way, who has, again, spoken up on these issues time and time again, said that he would like to keep his decision to stand to himself and that everybody has to make a personal decision, which is fair. And the NBA has allowed everybody to make a personal decision. In fact, the NBA has a rule, a long-standing rule, that you're supposed to stand for the anthem and hasn't enforced it, obviously. But here's what DeMar DeRozan had to say. With Pop and Becky standing, I have no thoughts contrary to believe in them that this is all out of a genuine, but a belief in them that this is all out of genuine, out of a positive side of their heart. Same way we kneel, don't take nothing away from those guys. You know, Pop speaks out. When it comes to Becky, she's been on the front line fighting for equality since I've been a fan of hers playing in the WNBA. So everybody has their own right of making a statement, and you can't vilify nobody for not doing what the other group is doing. I'm all for it. Perfectly said. Perfectly said. He doesn't question the motives or the intent of Greg Popovich or Becky Hammon. It would almost be ridiculous. I don't know Becky Hammon's history as well as I know Popovich, but from everything I do know, it'd be ridiculous, right? I mean, they were both, by the way, wearing Black Lives Matter shirts. I think that's where Jonathan Isaac got the most brushback, to be honest. It's not that he stood during the anthem. It's that he also didn't wear the shirt, and people were curious as to why he didn't wear the shirt because, you know, if he felt standing during the anthem was appropriate, what he wanted to do, or, you know, I know there was the baseball player said he only kneels before God or something. If that's the way he felt, why couldn't he wear the shirt? But again, does it really matter? Is that accomplishing anything? I mean, the one thing I agreed with that Isaac said is that T-shirts and kneeling aren't ultimately going to be what changes things. That doesn't mean they can't be helpful. That doesn't mean they can't keep a message out in the forefront. But it is an individual decision. And I think those of us, and I include myself amongst them, those of us who are fighting for what is right and just, we lose some of that ground when we then criticize people for exercising their own right to express themselves how they do if they're not hurting anybody else or they're not being hateful in doing so. And we also take the eyes off the prize, if you will, by engaging in a pointless argument that makes, like, who cares? What does it accomplish? It's just a pointless argument to go, how many years are we going to spend arguing over kneeling or standing for the national anthem? It accomplishes absolutely nothing. Nobody's going to be enlightened at this point. Everybody knows what the deal is. Everybody knows why people kneel. If you don't, you're willfully ignorant. And if you're against it, you know, the message or somehow think it's still about something other than it isn't, you can't be helped. You can't be helped. At the same time, if somebody wants to stand, they can stand. That's my stance on it. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. The good thing is I have faith in the NBA and its players to handle it like DeMar DeRozan did, and I don't think this is going to be an issue. I think it's an issue because these people were different than the rest in that moment. You know, Jonathan Isaac was the first player we saw stand. We saw Popovich and Becky Hammon stand when everybody else was kneeling. So it's like, okay, that was noteworthy in that moment. But I think the vast majority of the NBA is going to take the approach that DeMar DeRozan said and say, I don't question their beliefs. You know, and they have the right to do that as well. And I think we're going to move on. And I think the NBA will handle it maturely and in the proper way while continuing to express itself and theirselves individually and collectively in the way that they see fit. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Chris in Alabama. Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, man? I agree with majority of what you're saying. I would just like to expand out what he said. When he said religion, that's all. I mean, you don't have to even explain it, though. It'll be nice to at least know that much. But I mean, and honestly, like when you say that that we all a collective agreement that unity is what we're searching for, and that's indeed right, correct as well. And to be what to crucify the guy for not, I guess, following suit, is kind of the exact I guess the exact thing that started, I guess, the case that we all just stand constantly and just sit by and let things happen in America, but instead of just going against the grain, which Colin Kaepernick clearly shows, we got to go against the grain at least. I mean, you can't be the antithesis of what you're trying to solve. Can be better, and even now, there's going to be some detractors. I mean, regardless, I mean, just few there though. I saw someone burning LeBron and Davis jersey, thinking it's going to solve it, and really, it's not. But I mean, because undebated is honestly mute at this point. I mean. If anything, you just want to just kind of expand on what he meant by religion. That's it.
Look, I mean, I don't even think he owes an explanation. I did personally, and thanks for the call, didn't really understand his explanation.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's okay. Like, I don't have to understand his explanation. As long as I'm, you know, like, here's the thing. So sometimes these arguments come up about things, and people will say, well, you have to respect the other side of the argument, and I'll go, no.
Good thing you brought up Greg Popovich, too.
I don't have to respect the other side when the other side is racism, right? Like, no, I don't. I'm not respecting racism. You know, I don't have to respect the other side when it's bringing completely incorrect, not factual information. No, I don't have to, you know, give your conspiracy theory validity. No, I don't have to do that. I'm sorry. Just because the rules are, oh, you know, respect everybody's point of view. Incorrect things are not a point of view. Like, false propaganda information, not a point of view. Racism, not a legitimate point of view, right? So yeah. I shun those things. At the same time, like you were saying, if we are to say, you know, people have a right to kneel, people have a right to express themselves, people have a right to protest, they do have the right to stand. So you don't want to go so far in the other direction where you make yourself...
It is in a communist society, so...
Yeah. You want to make yourself look ridiculous, and thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. in the, you know, in going so far in the other direction, because then you just wind up making yourselves look silly. And then you also wind up engaging in an argument that literally accomplishes nothing. With that said, I don't think this is a big deal. I think it's going to be a much bigger media deal than it is an actual deal, because I haven't heard anybody say anything really negative. Other than, I think it was, and I won't even say it's negative, I think it was Taylor Rooks who asked the questions to Isaac after the game. So he was asked questions about it. Personally, I wouldn't have, you know, I don't feel I'm owed an explanation, but I understand why the questions were asked in that moment, given that it was different than everybody else. Fine. But then we move on, even if I don't really understand or get his answer. But I haven't seen outrage about it. I haven't seen his teammates calling him out about it. I haven't seen you know, any public figure say anything strong against him. And again, you know, DeMar DeRozan was already supporting Popovich and Becky Hammond. So I think this is much more of a media thing, because the anthem demonstrations always cause a media reaction. And I don't think there is a problem. I don't think there's an issue. I think NBA players will be accepting of people expressing themselves how they want to express themselves. And I think they will be fine with this. So ultimately, maybe I'm even contributing in a way I would prefer not to contribute by giving this story life when it doesn't actually have life. You know what I mean? Because if I'm saying we shouldn't waste our time with this, and the players and the league aren't wasting their time with it, then why am I actually breathing air into it, if you understand what I'm saying? Let's go to Brian in Columbia, South Carolina. Brian, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, actually, I'm an Uber driver, and I have somebody in my car now, so I will call y'all back.
All right. So, they can't. Would they tell you not to call sports talk while they're in the car?
No,
are they okay with it? Can you put them on the phone? You want to put them on the phone for me real quick?
You want to say hello to the radio? She says no.
Okay. All right. Then I won't make her talk. All right. You can handle your business, Brian. Appreciate the call, man. How about Caleb in Dallas? Caleb, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, buddy. How's it going there?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I just wanted to kind of shed some light on, you know, everybody, you know, it's just wrong to pressure, you know, individuals to feel like they need to wear a shirt or, you know, kind of protest how you think they should, you know, and everybody's different. They kind of just, I if I'm an NBA player, you know, I'm over here like, you know, what shirt is the, you know, the cops who killed Breonna Taylor wearing, you know? I mean, I don't want to feel pressured to do anything, and that's just going to make me feel more like, you know, I'm being, you know, made to do something that who knows if I actually want to do it or not. And who knows if I want to tell you why or, you know, how or what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, and I don't think there has been pressure. The pressure came from the fact that collectively most players and coaches had chosen to kneel, right? Like, so there was an implicit pressure, I suppose, if you will, just because everybody else was doing it. I don't think anybody actually pressured, right? And judging by the reaction, clearly not, because I haven't seen anybody criticize. And I haven't seen anybody within the NBA, other than like social media, I haven't seen anybody criticize Jonathan Isaac. And in fact, I saw the opposite. I saw his teammates quoted in support of him. And I just read you the quotes from DeMar DeRozan in support of Popovich and Becky Hammond. And if we're going to criticize Greg Popovich, what are we doing? Right? Like, what are we doing? Given the guy's track record and how often he's spoken out. It's his, you know, if he wants to stand, he wants to stand. He has his reasons. Just, you know, it's not a requirement to kneel, just like it's not a requirement to stand. And that should be okay with everybody. As long as you're it's like the I bring up in this show. As long as you come to the table in good faith, I'm cool. We can have differences of opinion, different points of view, different philosophies on things. Just come to the table in good faith. It's the bad faith that I reject. That's what I reject when your argument is in bad faith, either from a place of hate, not based on substance, based on lies, that sort of thing. But if you're coming to the table in good faith, we got to be able to accept everybody's point of view. And I appreciate the call, man. Let's go to Mike in Fort Worth, Texas. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, man? Yeah, hey, I'm an ex-Marine veteran, man. I agree with what's going on now. You're supposed to kneel about kneeling because Breonna Taylor, I mean, it's just been too many shootings, man. We had a shooting in Fort Worth. Her name was Tatiana Jefferson. The police shot through the house just like in Breonna Taylor's case. So right now, I agree with it. Now, at some point in time, which I think eventually people will go back to standing as long as there are no more illegal police shootings. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying the rest of this year, this is in all sports, basically, you know, well, football, baseball, basketball, this year, and then probably some of next year. But eventually, I think people start going back to standing because then the argument's going to be, well, you know, this country has provided you to make millions and all that. But right now, I agree with them, you know. But eventually, that people are going to end up having to stand because the argument is going to be, well, you got all this money. You couldn't have made this money in any other country. And, you know, just because you're taking a shooting that happened like 6 months ago, whatever, as long as there's no more shootings, then eventually things get back to normal.
Well, look, it's up to an individual, the decision. I don't care what a counter argument against it is. You know, like, clearly in the inception of the protest was for awareness, right? Like, the inception of it was awareness. Whether that's exactly where it started in Colin Kaepernick's mind or what it became, it was for awareness on police brutality and racial injustice. And then, of course, it was adopted by others throughout the NFL. Now, I don't think there is an awareness problem, right? It's not an awareness problem. People are fully aware. If they're not, they're willfully ignorant. Now it's just about a message. You know, players want to continue to put that message at the forefront. Don't forget. Basically, just because we're playing, don't forget Breonna Taylor has not gotten justice. Don't forget. You know, I thought Doc Rivers put it really well. He said he was kneeling for 2 minutes and it hurt his knees and it was tough. And then he thought about how a man had their knee on George Floyd's neck for 8-9 minutes, sapping his life from him. You know, and don't forget that. That's what I think the players are trying to express now. Ultimately, kneeling or standing for the national anthem, wearing a shirt or not, is not solving the issues. And we want to be solving the issues. We want to be having the discussions that help us solve the issues or at least understand the issues so that we can solve them. And that's why I'm saying fighting about who's standing or kneeling for the national anthem just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't accomplish anything. At this point, it's about messaging, and I support the message. I support the demonstrations. Obviously, I think they've been beautiful, like I've put it. At the same time, I support people who don't feel they have to participate in that or want to stand for their own personal reason. I mean, Becky Hammon and Greg Popovich were standing with Black Lives Matter shirts. We know where they stand, literally and figuratively. So to then bicker about it, fight about it, or point the fingers because they weren't doing what everybody else was doing exactly the same way, that's just counterproductive. It's just counterproductive. And really, that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. It's not a story. It's a story because it was unique in the moment. But it's not. It shouldn't be a prolonged story because no one's upset about it. Who's upset? Who have we found that's... Oh, the only people that are upset about it are the people online who are loud, you know, and are a small minority, or the people who are just trying to cause up the wrong kind of controversy because they're, you know, want to throw it back in people's faces. Look what you guys did. And now these people are being criticized. No, they're not. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's talk a little on the court action coming up next with Steve Ashburner, NBA.com senior writer. Robin Lundberg here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Robin Lundberg is on the air. You're welcome. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk some basketball. To do so, I'm joined by Steve Ashburner, NBA.com senior writer. Steve, you know, I almost felt a sense of pride in how well the NBA return has gone as a fan of the sport. I mean, could the restart be going any better at this point?
Well, I'll tell you, when you compare it to Major League Baseball and their attempt to, I guess, maintain a little more normalcy and traveling and using various hotels and playing in all 30 ballparks, I mean, that's become pretty challenging now and has that sport, you know, in some people's minds on the brink of shutting her down. So, you know, this bubble concept, you know, good for the NBA. I mean, it's clear from the game presentation, the attention that they paid to pulling this off and trying to address what an artificial environment it truly is. I mean, to watch these games, the first thing I think of is the, it's been defunct for a couple of years now, but the Orlando Summer League, not the Vegas Summer League, not the Rocky Mountain Review, not, you know, none of those, but the Orlando Summer League was strictly an NBA presentation where there were no fans in the gyms. There really was very little area around the court, a couple of bleachers here and there. And, you know, it was fine for summertime and diehard fans to check in, you know, once it was on television and all. But this is a whole different thing. I mean, this is an attempt to replicate the regular season games and draw as many eyeballs as possible. And I think the NBA has done a good job. I mean, you know, whether the digitized fans in the digitized stands, you know, your cup of tea or not, I mean, at least it's better than blank walls or more advertising or something. It's just, I thought it was a very watchable product. And then the game sort of, you know, really took it over the top. In my view, we got a lot of good basketball the last 2 days.
Yeah, I've been making the argument in the lead up to the season, Steve, that we would see great basketball because it just, you know, there would be a heightened level of focus, and that's to take nothing away from the normal level of focus. It's just a number of factors play in, right? Once the rust is shaken off, one, there's a shared responsibility in making sure that the league is successful here, and that's shared amongst everybody. Two, there's no travel, as you mentioned, right? So you don't have a rough travel day or a particular city that you know might lead to a worse performance the next day. You know, you're sleeping in the same environment every time. Everybody's focused on the same mission because they're in this bubble. You know, obviously there are personal interests and personal message people want to get across, but they're there to play basketball. So I think all those things put together might lead to an almost enhanced level of focus, if you will. What do you think of that?
No, I think that's fair. And certainly the lack of travel will presumably over the next week or two with these seeding games will really reveal itself. And then even on into the playoffs, of course, because that, you know, now for most of us, hopping on a private charter jet with lobster and steak dinners catered and, you know, first class seating throughout, it wouldn't seem that demanding. But when you're flying at odd hours and just that traveling and the altitude and the cabin pressure and all, it does take a toll. And, you know, these guys can just go back to their room. And so they're waking up in the same bed day after day after day as if it were nothing but home games. It's not home games, but it's certainly not road games as we've come to think of them. I'll tell you, as I watch some of the basketball, I had ballots for all the NBA awards, and I found myself either feeling very happy about certain votes I cast, and then occasionally feeling like, could I get that one back based on, you know, Jason Tatum, for instance, who I think I had as a third-team All-NBA, 2-for-18 last night against Milwaukee. So you're going to see some rust, but that, I think, is to be expected. I just want to see as many teams as possible during these 2 weeks play hard. And you're going to get that from, you know, Portland, obviously, and Memphis, who are fighting over a potential playoff berth. But, you know, the Lakers and the Bucks, I mean, they played hard, and they don't really have much to gain because there is no home court advantage to secure.
Robin Lundberg talking to Steve Ashburner, NBA.com senior writer here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned those two teams, Lakers and the Bucks. Let's start with the Lakers. I mean, you saw that from LeBron, right, at the end of the game. I mean, he means business. He didn't play particularly well. Anthony Davis carried them for the bulk of that game, and they got some good contributions from Kyle Kuzma, Deion Waiters. If those guys score like that, they're going to be tough to beat. But taking on that assignment of Kawhi Leonard, locking him down, you know, that final possession, Kawhi and Paul George, I think, again, that's that sense of responsibility I was referencing before, and nobody bears that more than LeBron.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, at 35, you know, he's past the point of being considered, you know, for any all defense teams or anything like that. I mean, he has had to pace himself, and that's understandable. But in key moments, in games that matter, particularly given his size advantage over most players that are going to have the ball in their hands, you know, that's a pretty good option to have. So that was fun to see that he was engaged and active out there, and it was successful. Not fun for Clippers fans in that particular moment, but for NBA fans.
You know, were you surprised how well, I guess the teams that we knew were good started off the season? Not like they hadn't, you know, missed any time. There was a little, you know, turnovers and the like. But Milwaukee, you know, wins their opener over Boston. A good game, but two good teams. Giannis is a beast. Like we just said with LeBron and the Lakers against the Clippers, a tight game where we don't know who's going to win that series. The Mavericks and the Rockets in overtime last night, putting up points on the board. It is as if these teams are who we thought they were immediately.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not like they needed "Hello, my name is" stickers on their jerseys. And I guess that's a testament to what gets built over time, what gets established. You know, during that run of 65 games or so that these teams had, it didn't dissipate even across 4 months. And, you know, I think the teams that have done well, that do well in this league, generally have, you know, a togetherness and a camaraderie. And as long as you have your pieces, and, you know, we're seeing Portland now with the potential of having pieces back, you know, finding itself again, that's a different thing. But, I mean, I get to Milwaukee a lot. I'm based in Chicago. And, you know, that team to me has as good a camaraderie as I've seen in years in the NBA. And so the idea that these guys, you know, they just started playing games that matter yesterday, but they've been together now in this bubble concept. And even for, you know, 2-3 weeks, That's an opportunity. They're living on top of each other. I mean, it's just that's going to bring out that sort of I think, you know, shared focus. And so I'm not surprised for that. It's another aspect, just like the not having to travel. It's an aspect of this bubble that, you know, as challenging as it's got to be, I'm not in it. As you know, so. You've got to watch where you go, what you do, who you stand next to, how far away, you know, keep that mask handy, all of those things. You know, it seems like there are some side benefits, whether they were intended or not.
And so far, so good for the NBA. Steve, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
You bet, Rob.
He knows his sports, and he's also a professor of pop culture. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It's a whole new world right now, a whole new game. That's the NBA's slogan at the moment. Has the NBA embarrassed Major League Baseball in their respective returns? 855-212-4227. The NBA seemingly going off without a hitch. Major League Baseball, according to Rob Manfred, may have to shut the season down as early as next week. I don't know if he's just trying to get people to take things more seriously, if that's a warning or that's a threat, but apparently it got far enough where they're telling TV networks to consider alternative programming. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Christy in Dallas. Christy, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. I want to make a comment, and I'm going to go back a couple of calls to a gentleman who called in that referenced a term that I hate, which is group speak. And I'm going to tie that to what is going on and what maybe some of the NBA players were thinking and what my own thoughts were. I think that people speak out because they don't want what is being done to be marginalized, to be categorized into things like group speak and, oh, it's not a real thing because not everybody feels that way. Because, and I'll reference this as an example, if one person had stopped riding the bus, probably wouldn't have been an issue. Probably if 10 or 12 people had stopped riding the bus, wouldn't have been an issue. But when an entire culture group of people stopped riding the buses in Selma, it caused action because there were consequences for that. So this is not a group speak. This is not really even about just kneeling and wearing a T-shirt. The message behind kneeling is that until the anthem means for all people, until it holds true for all people, then we're going to peacefully protest what it says it stands for that it's not standing for. So we have to be careful that the message does not get marginalized and then people are allowed to come in and make comments like group speak and a lot of these things that'll happen where people will say, well, not everybody thinks that, so it couldn't be happening and it's not a real thing. And I think the players want to try to avoid giving gaps in the message that allow for people to come in and marginalize what is going on by slapping other labels on it.
Well, Chrissy, I respect that. I think what the players are trying to do, and I don't want to speak for any of them individually, is to say, we don't forget you shouldn't either, right? Just because we're back playing basketball and back to a sense of normalcy in our occupation and therefore bringing sports back doesn't mean that these issues don't need to be addressed. They still need to be addressed, and obviously they're real. Anybody who says they're not real it just is in their own reality, right? The only point I was making before was just that I don't think it's worth the energy that it takes to condemn the one person who stands or the group of people who stand for their own individual reasons and make it all about that rather than about what the players are trying to keep in the forefront, which is, you know, police brutality, the criminal justice system, racism, you know, getting justice for Breonna Taylor and all of those points. Still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I just thought, I was giving you space to respond there.
Oh, okay. Well, no. And I guess that I'm not so much seeing, I understand your point. I really do understand your point. And you had a caller before that says, oh, when the shooting stops, that this will go away. No, this is not going to go away when the shooting stops. The shootings are just another symptom of a larger problem. So it's not going to stop then. It's not going to stop when people stop wearing the T-shirts. It's not going to stop when people stop kneeling. It's not going to stop until the reason why it started ends. And I think I don't want to get so much caught up in why two or three people make a conscious decision to stand or not stand. And I'm a big fan of Greg Popovich. So everybody knows where Pop stands. So I'm not against any of that, but I'm just saying let's be careful that we don't get it marginalized.
Which I think is the goal. Which I think is the goal of the players, right?
Gaps.
I think that's the goal of the players.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
this is a movement because all right, we've said these things before. We've tried to bring attention to these things before, but it feels like there is real momentum in this moment. Don't let that slide. Don't let that slip because, you know, a message on the back of a jersey isn't solving the root issue, right? Like that we want to get these root issues solved. So we're going to keep it at the forefront of people's minds until we make real progress on those
right. and
issues.
One important point is let's remember how we vilified Colin Kaepernick when he selected to kneel for his own reasons. This man lost income. He lost a career. He became almost like enemy number one because he exercised his right to kneel. So now you kind of have it's on the flip side and people are using the same argument. Where was that argument for him when he first did this?
I understand
so
that.
We got a two-way street here.
I made that argument
side,
for
but
Colin.
Not the other.
Well, I made that argument for Colin Kaepernick from the beginning. I was never critical of what Colin Kaepernick did, and thank you for the call. Like I supported that from the beginning, from the first time that happened. What I was saying before is, you know, you don't want to take away from the messaging by then arguing about that when it is their right to stand as well. and to pressure everybody into kneeling, even if that isn't their chosen method at the moment, especially when they, you know, are coming to the table in good faith or have good intentions otherwise, like you mentioned with Greg Popovich. Like, you know, it'd be foolish to question Greg Popovich's intentions. I don't know Becky Hammon's history as well, but from what I do know, it seems like it would be silly to question her intentions. And then Jonathan Isaac, the player on the Magic, he gave his reasons. I didn't really understand him, but that's okay. It's his right. It's his decision. And it just accomplishes nothing to then argue about that. It takes away from the actual mission. And it makes, you know, those of us who have been supportive of the right to protest, who have been supportive of all of these things, look silly if we just harp on that over and over again. You know, and I don't think anybody has. Again, Isaac's teammates seem to have supported him. DeMar DeRozan's already publicly come out and supported Pop and Becky Hammon. So, you know, as long as, like I said, different point of views, different stances, different beliefs, all good with me as long as they come to the table in good faith. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, good show.
Thank you.
I'm so glad basketball is back. Baseball was looking good. Boy, threat. Whatever you got to do, he has to get those plays lined. But to me, he's still going down as one of the worst commissioners. My Clippers, I'm still confident. They were missing two real good players, or three. They gave a good run for the Lakers. I just wish Kawhi would be just more selfish and just take over the game. Him and George should not be worried about getting the assists. I just thought they just could have ramped up a little more. The game's been great. It kind of reminds you, especially the last two nights with Paulin and the Buck game. The Rams, Kansas City Chiefs, was a Monday night. It was like 52-49. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. I love to see the scoring. There's a lot of good plays in this league. And would you think Paulin could be a dark horse? They got their two big guys back from injuries, and their starting five looks pretty good.
Yeah, the problem is that dark horse will face the Los Angeles Lakers if they do make it into the playoffs. So, I don't think they can beat the Lakers. And thanks for the call, man. As far as Kawhi and Paul George being more sad, I mean, Paul George was great down the stretch of that game. Kawhi was locked down by LeBron. LeBron locked him down. That's what happened in that game. LeBron put the clamps on Kawhi down. You know, Kawhi's never been shy. Jesse in Dallas. Jesse, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Yes, sir. I just want to comment on the NBA. I mean, I know everybody's saying we're going to watch it without the audience, and I just feel like I just wait till next year when everything's back to normal. I don't feel like that kneeling. Like you said a while ago, to each his own, you know, some people feel like, you know, if you kneel, that's for Black Lives Matter, and some people say you stand up for the patriotic family that you grow up in. You know, I just feel like everybody should just, you know, respect everybody's decision. I mean, because it's going to be like if everybody kneels, and if you're Black and you don't kneel, oh, you're not part of the Black Lives Matter. And I don't think that's right. I think everybody should have their own opinion of how they want to kneel or they want to stand or whatever they want to do. But don't make other people feel like if they don't do it, then they're not part of the Black Lives Matter, you know, assessment. You know, I just feel like if we just put God more in our life, man, we'll stop worrying about Black Lives Matter and all this other stuff, man. I just think people need to start putting God more in their lives than all this Black Lives Matters and all these things going on. I mean, we have people that are dying every day for this coronavirus, and everybody knows this is a government thing, man. People don't even see what's going on, but
what does that mean?
It's gonna come out one day.
What does that mean? That it's a government thing?
I feel like this is a government issued virus that's going on.
Based upon what information?
Based upon the China, it was in China. The population of China is a billion. So why not come out with something to depopulate China? And now that they see what happened in China,
but where is this information coming from? Like your theory needs to be based on actual data, information, not like a feeling.
Okay, I'm telling you this: China was a billion people now.
You know how many people they depopulated with this coronavirus? The numbers?
So you're saying Thanos is responsible for that? Look, man, I appreciate the call, but like this is what I said. I am accepting of point of views that come to the table in good faith. And let me go back to some of the other points you said, which are, you know, that people can have their own right to do things. And I agree. You had also said that, you know, people need God more in their lives. That's it feels like a good faith opinion from you. Obviously, it helps you. That's not a shared opinion from me. That I don't think the solution to this is more God in people's lives. If God is in your life, that is fine. How I choose to live my life, that's fine too, right? Like good faith stuff like that. But I have to shut down just baseless claims. Again, the two things I won't accept are bad faith arguments and then just baseless claims. And there's no substance to the government having, you know, you've been listening to Michael Porter Jr. a little bit too much. You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.